It's a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's a mitzvah which is chaviva ad lamoed. Rama's lashon in the beginning, because it's actually he has Megillah and Chanukah together. It's a paragimel of what's called Megillah Chanukah. It's even on his besparnas being a stalker, he has to either borrow or sell with his claw, the shirt of his back, to be able to get Shem and to be madlik. A person, when he does the mitzvah of the Lachas Neiris, he should have in mind his goal is to be Mefarsim Menes. That was the purpose over here, is to be Mefarsim Menes. There's an interesting piece from Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Mark Seal. He says that the bracha is the chelik of the Pesumim Nisa. When you break the bracha, what you're doing, you say, I'm doing this for the purpose of Pesumim Nisa. So you should have in mind when you make the bracha that you're doing it for the purpose of Pesumim Nisa. A person should not speak between the bracha and the halakha, and that includes a person should not speak between the bracha and the halakha between there and there. Once you've lit one there, you do not go back, and a person would speak then something which is not part of the tzarek of the halakha. A person does not have to go back and repeat the bracha. When do you start Neiris Halalu? Sing Neiris Halalu. So the Magen Rambam says after you've lit the first Neir. So you have to understand the Lachar, you're not supposed to speak in between the. So Neiris Halalu is, again, it's also part of the process of Pesumim Nisa, with the declaration that we're doing this for the purpose of not for our own Tashmish, but in order to be able to be Mefarsim Menes. That itself is part of the Pesumim Menes, so it's not considered a Hafsaka. So that's why it's not considered a hefsek to say Neiris Halalu at that point in time. Chazal said that once the Zman Halakha comes, so a person is not allowed to learn that point in time. And even if he started learning beforehand, he has to interrupt because it's the proper time to light. Even though normally the loch is by Mitzvah Rabbanan, a person started Zman beforehand, he's not clear to interrupt when it comes to Zman. Over here, since the Chazal wanted you to make sure that you're Madlik and there's a proper time to be Madlik, so therefore it's us to get involved in other actions, eating, etc. What about making a shermer? Would a shermer then be sufficient to act as a reminder, thereby to allow you to get involved in something else? We'll talk about, obviously, it's still preferred to do it at the proper time, but say a person, whatever reason that, not an Eitzah, so he wants to eat, he can't light right now, he wants to eat. Can you rely on the Eitzah of a shermer? Or some reason why he's waiting. In the Hilchos, Chanukah does not mention the idea of a shomer, but in other places where Chazal made chashash and people were thinking, making the mistake and forgetting, Chazal did offer the option of something called a shomer. Talks to the Gabi Lelach, as a person can't read, learn Torah on Friday night, can't read Lar HaNeir, but a shomer works. Talks about the Gabi casing your day to milk with inflation, etc. So for tzarech of a mitzvah, a person could be samech on a shomer. That's how Halacha brings down it. If you have valid need, you can be samech on a shomer. Rishonberg writes in a tshuva that so setting an alarm clock which will go off at the time when you're able to light, as a reminder, and putting a note there which indicates why it's, you know, this alarm clock, you can shut it off. Like, that doesn't help you. Alarm clock, you look at it, it's a piece of paper, it says Neir Chanukah, so it reminds you to light. So that is considered a valid act for the purpose of a shomer. Obviously, the idea is you have to respond to the alarm clock. You know, you hit the snooze button or, you know, just turn it off. That's not the point. The point is to respond to it. So there are scenarios where he does suggest that a person should wait till later it's supposed to light the proper time. We'll talk about that as we get along. And then he says, in those scenarios, you would rely on the saints of Asher. Okay. So when is the proper time to light? So let's go from earliest to latest. So Chazal gave an option of lighting from Plag HaMincha. So on Erev Shabbos, a person can light from Plag HaMincha and onwards. Even during the weekdays, So a person's leaving his home, and he knows he will not come back until it's too late to light. So Chazal allowed you to light for Plaga Mincha. Mishukhar brings Lashav Yesharmi, but it doesn't mean a Chaluk, so we're serving on that. Now, in a case where a person can light from Plaga Mincha onwards, or alternatively, a person can light even if it's home late at night, what's considered better? Which option is better? So, in one way, I say the argument is, you know, is we're asking a purist question, which one is better, but then there's also the pragmatic issue of you can't eat. There's other things you can't do till you light. So maybe, even if you tell me it's better to light later, but you know, you're leaving yourself in a situation where you can't do all these other things, maybe it's better not to rely on a shomer and to light before it. So that might color the issue also. But Meister Rosh says it's better to light earlier. From Plaga Minchan onwards, that's what Marshall holds it to. There are others who disagree with the Rebbezimits that disagree and say that a person should light later, but it should be at least at a time when he gets home when the B'nai Ba'is are still up. You get home and everybody's been sleeping, so there's a lack of Pesuminis in that scenario. Therefore, it would be then it's better to light earlier. I want to actually go with that P'sak, so just remember my P'sak on that is my P'sak is to go with the lighting later is better. This manazeh that the ikar adlaka is for the night bias, as long as the night bias are up, that you can do that. That's considering doing the ikar's adlaka. That's better than doing it earlier. Okay.
How much is considered night bias?
One person. Okay, so that is your first zman hadlaka. Second zman hadlaka. There's now is the proper zman hadlaka. Is this very confusing? Machloik is exactly what point you're supposed to light. The Gro holds you light by Shkia, or shortly thereafter. So if you're trying to get a little bit dark, so there's something, some level that we noticed. Shulchan Aruch says you light at what's called the beginning of the Shkia Shni, right, by Shkia Shniya, which is according to Magen Rabbeinu Tam is quite well after sunset. The sun goes down before the rising, but before Tetzik Kachav. Remember, the Shita told that you light by Tetzik Kachav. The Rambam and the Gro hold you light by Shkia. The Shulchan Aruch has you lighting by the beginning of Ben Hashmoshes of the Rebbeinu Tam, and the sun hold you light by Tetzik Kachav. Now, the Shulchan Aruch points out that if a person did not light in this man, he can light even afterwards also. And one points out that this man has said that the Iker Loch is for the Bnei Bayis, which is inside, you know, not for the people outside. So a person could light even later. There's no requirement. You must light earlier in that situation. But he agrees that there's a heater to light earlier. So Kol HaShulchan Aruch doesn't make this point of the Ramah. It sounds like there's a halacha to light earlier. But if you didn't, you could light later. And when the Ramah presents it, is that it's a heater to light earlier. Till when? So the Magen says you can light till Chatzos. But even till Chatzos, the Dafkas B'nai Bayis are in the Urim. The Mishabura brings Chokin, which are very strongly chalak on that, and they say that you can light till Alois. But the Mishabura seems to bring the Dafka, and again, he does seem to accept the idea of the Magen Rabbeinu. There should be somebody awake, which he's not going to count. You should wake somebody up to be able to listen to the brachas. Rosh is a tshuva, which he disagrees with this. Rosh says that what you're basically telling me is a person who lives all by himself can never make a brach. Unless he lights outside, etc., which that's not mistaber. So he holds it that the fact that you're making the bracha for yourself is sufficient. So you do not need to have this limit of waking up the nearby. So my son, the Mishnah Berurah, comes out that after chatzos it's a machloek, it's whether you make a bracha. It's better not to get involved in that situation. But whether regards to waking up somebody up, or Mishnah holds you can make not, so you don't wake somebody up. There is, once you light, so the halacha is that a person, you have to put in enough shemen that it'll last for the full zman. So full zman is described as a half an hour after tzeitzik kachav. So if you light by tzeitzik kachav, you put enough oil for half an hour after tzeitzik kachav. If you light by shkiyo, you put enough oil, this will last for half an hour after tzeitzik kachav. If you light by plaga mincha, you put enough oil, this will last for half an hour after tzeitzik kachav. You light it at 9 o'clock at night, you put enough oil to last a half an hour. But the shear is always a half an hour. at least a half an hour. So a person's lighting from Plag HaMincha and onwards, he has to have that shear. Now, there is a chumrah, which the argument is that, why half an hour? Because Chazal touched up, at that point in time, after half an hour, people were no longer going in the street. Bismana said that's not true anymore. Now we have lights, etc. People go much longer. So that should create a cooler that a person could light the chachil even later, because this is mamash, this is mamash lakha, there's people out in the street. It should also create a chumrah, because we learn from there the shear of how much you have to light. So Biskarov held that you had to light a menorah, which is large enough, it should last until Tikkun Rabbi Menashuk. So if you live on the Rehov Bar-Ilan, that's 1 o'clock in the morning, so you have to put enough oil in the chachil that it should last until 1 o'clock in the morning. You can't add oil later. You have to put enough oil in the chachil that oil, we say, has to be there enough time to last, has to be there b'shas hadlok. So I have to put in a container of oil, like is a big, that it should last till, you know, that's the Biskarov held like that. That's the Chum of the Biskarov.
As long as we're not lighting for the people who are outside anyway, so why does it matter?
So, First of all, in Eretz Yisrael, they are, and even if you like the Bnei Bayis, we still use the shear of Tichlur Regel Menashuk, in the sense of that the shear of how much it has to last, it has to last that amount. So normally it's a half an hour. That's the standard. So you get your Tel Shishima candles in the mail, they last a half an hour. So if you're lighting after say to Kachavim, those candles are fine. But if you light the earlier Zman, so that would not be proper. It comes along the Mishabura says that we give you these times to light Shkia, say Sekhovim, second Shkia. I mean, how precise do you have to be? So the Losh of the Shogunar is you shouldn't be Macher, you shouldn't be Macher. So the Bir Halacha proves, it doesn't mean on the minute. You have a leeway. He suggests that leeway is up to 25 minutes. Because it's not logical, you should light exactly by Shkia, it's a project you don't see it at the Shkia. So it means a few minutes after Shkia Vada definitely is acceptable. Up to 25 minutes. So came along Rebaran Cutler's Hatzal, and Rebaran said he made it the following suggestion. Since in America there's an argument, Ramosha says in the Chuba we mentioned last time, that by 50 minutes after sunset, it's even tastes according to the Reynolds time. Which means the Vedashmash starts 41 minutes after sunset. So Shkia Shnia is like 41 minutes after sunset, and Tzitzit Chavim is 15 minutes after sunset. So if you light 25 minutes after sunset, so you fulfill the Shita which tells you you're supposed to light by Shkia, because you live within 25 minutes of Shkia. You also fill the Shita which tells you you have to light by Tzitzit, because you're within 25 minutes of Tzitzit. So you have the best of all worlds by lighting 25 minutes after Shkia. Now, obviously, you should make sure you light on the money, though. Because if you wait till 30 minutes after Shkia, you didn't have to fill. Your whole goal is to fill all the Shitas. If you wait too long, you're not going to be able to fill the Shitas that you should light by Shkia. So, the Shiva's calculation for this man of Loka is based on this idea from Rebaran. That Rebaran Kutler itself suggested to do like that. And so that's his man we designate, but pointing out, if you want to do it, you want to do it right, you should be ready to light exactly at that moment. You know, so the person should really have his neighbors set up beforehand and ready to go. That just at that moment, you know, the lights and then, these get to them. It's like all the sheets.
Does it change every day?
Theoretically, it changes every day. But since the nature of the calendar is that right around this time of year, the calendar stalls. The sun stalls at a certain point. And it doesn't. Shkia is very close to each other every single day at this time of year, so it doesn't make that much of a significant difference. Sunrise is still getting later, but Shkia stays put. Why that's so, that's interesting astronomical anomaly, but that's a different shear. Okay. Another place where a person should be aware of this issue of having the nearest ready to go is Motzei Shabbos. So Motzei Shabbos, the nature of the beast is you're going to be davening Ma'ariv by Tzeisa Kochavim. If you're coming home after say, so that situation is proper to push the light as early as possible. She should really have the neighbors set up. So let's say, for argument's sake, that this year, so the first lichtel is Wednesday night. So Friday night, you're going to light three neighbors. Right? So Motzei Shabbos is four neighbors. So it doesn't take too much chachma to realize that your menorah has eight spaces. You can set up seven of them before Shabbos, three on one side and four on the other side, and just turn the thing around, Motzei Shabbos. Right? And then you have four neighbors already set. What?
And the guys all the way to the left.
Well, however you want to do it, you have them all set up already. You can do that. I don't care how you want to do it.
Is that a problem to prepare for after Shabbos, before Shabbos? It's only on Shabbos to prepare for after, but before.
Right, before Shabbos, not a problem. Right. So that situation. Now, just talking about that for a second. What goes first in between Havdalah and we're talking about Matzei Shabbos? Just talking about that for a second. What goes first, Havdalah versus Hadlaka? So in the shul, the minig is that Hadlaka goes first. It's an established minhag in shul that the hadlaka goes before havdalah. In shul, when they have both hadlaka and havdalah, they would do hadlaka's neiros and then havdalah. In the home, it's a machlokes what to do, and the mishaber comes out. David kamar, whatever you do is fine, which is not very helpful. So what are you supposed to do? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that the minhag, the mishaber leaves you with no answer. It leaves you with the Aruch HaShulchan. It's always good to pull an Aruch HaShulchan. You know, mishaber leaves you hanging. He says that the minhag over there actually is Havdalah first. She's in the house, the Iker minhag is to Havdalah first and then Hadlaka.
Because of Tadr?
Because of Tadr. The Machlok is Tadr versus Persimonisa. You know, generally, we find that Tadr goes first, but we know Persimonisa overrides many other Klalim. There's a right override over here. So in the Shul, where there's a very significant Persimonisa, we're going to give a defense to the Persimonisa. In the home, it's less, so we're not going to give that a defense to that. In the Shul, in general, it's okay. So that's the Zmane Hadlaka. Let's talk about where to light. Let me talk about Erev Shabbos a little bit. Okay, a person when they light Erev Shabbos. So normally the rule is that if the nair goes out, there's a rule of kubza ein zakuk lo. Once you did the hadlaka, even if it doesn't last afterwards, it's not your responsibility. If you lit it in a way that it could last, you're not mechuyav to relight it. So a person lit it in a place where the wind's blowing and it's going to go out. He did not light it properly. A person lit it with not enough oil. He did not light it properly. Then it goes out. He has to relight it. But a person lit it in a way which is proper. Then it goes out. He does not need to relight it. That's the Farish Gemara. Kavsa ein zalka klo. Comes along the Taz. The Taz says in Erev Shabbos, when we light so early, that's something you lit bismanoi. Erev Shabbos, you're lighting by plagim and chan onwards. If it goes out, you need to relight it, the Taz says. But you do not make a bracha. Unless you're ready, you were Makabal Shabbos, and somebody around was not Makabal Shabbos yet, you can ask somebody else to light it for you. Fine. That's just some of Erev Shabbos at that point. Erev Shabbos, the person, there is the preference to daven mincha before Hadlakas Neiros. Zeicher the Mikdash, that the Hadlakas Neiros were done after the Korban Tumin Shabbin Arboyim. So zecher to that. So we prefer to light neiros. So in Erev Shabbos, if you have an option of davening mincha earlier and then lighting neiros closer to the closer to the zman, that's preferred. Here in the Shiva, they have a mincha gadol. Many places have a mincha gadol. Even they don't have people who do not necessarily daven mincha gadol in Erev Shabbos during the year, but on Erev Shabbos Chanukah, they make a minyan for mincha gadol, and that's where they can become that. Baltimore, there's a minyan laguna, and Erev Shabbos, Okay. Welcome on Lokum. So the Gemara says that you lit it in the Pesach going out to Rosh Hashanah Rabin. There's a machloikas, what that means. So you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you get involved in that machloikas. We don't light. We're not lighting outside in the Chutz Loretz. So it says that the Gemara says, B'shasa Sakona, you put on your table with Daya. You put on the table, that's good enough. We maintain that we're still in some level of Ava, etc. To lighting outside is not safe, but putting on the chalon is still we're not unsafe to the point that it's not, you can't put it by the chalon. So that therefore we put it by the chalon on someone who's a rabbin to allow for his persimonisa. Neir's Chanukah are also to have a law from them. And the purpose again is to indicate clearly it's not for tashmish. The goal is to is to just to publicize a nes, instead of a chazal, preferably put it in a way that it's obvious that you're not using it for light. So it cannot be on the, it cannot, it has to be above three tefachim off the ground, and that in your house it'd be three tefachim off the floor of the room that you're lighting it in. But preferred in halacha should be below 10 tefachim, because nobody lights a lamp so low. It's not a very good place to put a lamp. It doesn't really, lamp spreads light, you know, around the tight. So you put a lamp and use it for the purpose of reading, etc., at a higher level. So the chasilah should be below 10 tefachim. However, if you put it by the window, if putting it by the window precludes you from putting it below the 10 tefachim, the window would trump the din of below 10 tefachim. It can't be above 20 amos. So 20 amos is measured not from the outside, but from inside. So as long as I don't live in this house, it has a tremendously high cathedral ceiling, even though I'm lighting it, I'm living in an apartment building on the third floor off the, or fourth floor, etc., but I'm lighting it within 20 amos of my floor, I'm okay. Now, however, regardless of a person who lives in a building or he's lighting it above 20 amos from the street, where does he light? So should he light by the window? Or in that situation, there's no reason to light by the window, because outside above 20 amos, people from the outside do not notice it in a way which is significant enough. So that's actually how we assume in halacha, that above, if you're inside, you're fine, because it's kosher, but regardless of lighting by the window, if you're above 20 amos of the street, you're not light by the window, you're light by the door. This is based on the Shiltis. The Shiltis says that it's proper for a person to light by the door on the side opposite of where the mezuzah is, and this way the person is surrounded by mitzvahs. So you should light by the door, this one inside the door, not the outside. You're lighting inside the doorway.
Of your room, or like the bottom of the whole building?
Of your room. So, now, in a case where you have, there are other high-rise buildings in your neighborhood, so even though, for the visiting the street, it's above 20 amos, if visiting my neighbors across, it's within the eyesight. So then maybe over there the window should be, or let's say you have, the Warwick has the curve, so if I'm lighting, you know, in a place where people could see straight across, what do you do in that situation? Which one is preferred? The answer is, of course, it is a machloekas. You know that, right? Of course, it's the machloekas. So Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal held that situation, that this point of 20 amos was because our masakah for the people in the shuk. So the fact that people in other buildings visible was not really play a role. Again, it's not, either way, it's kosher, so it's not a major issue. Okay, so you should light by the Pesach. In that situation, you would light by the doorway. Let's say, you know, when there's no question you're lighting by the doorway, you're lighting by the doorway. You should put it within a tefach of samach to the Pesach. You put it as close as possible to the doorway. It gets a little complicated in the halachas of how to set up the menorah. In that situation, if it's negated to Yulamaisa, see me. Lighting in the shul, there is a minhag where to light in the shul, but unless any of you are a gaboyim, we're not going to discuss that point. Okay, when a person lights, so we want you to light, there's a halacha called Ema Virna La Mitzvahs, and if you want to set up the nairs in such a way that you're not going to get involved in the problem of being over passing by mitzvahs. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch's way he sets up a menorah, is that the first night you light the rightmost nair, the second night you put two nairs on the right side of the menorah, and you light the left one of the two, and you light to the right. And the idea of kolpinash at the point of alti al yamin, you should always go to the right, means you start from the left, you go to the right. So now it's interesting because really the idea of pinash, you go to the right because we give a cheshivas to the right. So here we're sort of like giving the cheshivas to the left in order to give a cheshivas to the right, because the left got lit first. So there are different, the Taz argues on the Shulchan Aruch for that reason. He says that doesn't make any sense. He says, well, you should always light. He has you lighting always the rightmost one, because that's the most logical thing. You should always go to the right first, right? So but Rishon Chosha. That phrase. But my sense of the Shulchan Aruch says, so now, but you have a problem if you stand every single night in the same spot, you're going to end up passing by mitzvahs, right? Because if I stand here and there's all this, and I go to that one, I pass by all of these. So I should move over every night, that my hand, either myself or my hand, that my hand is closest to the one I'm going to light first. So when I make the bracha, I'm not passing by any neighbors, I'm going to that one first and find the light, be right there. Okay.
After you look at the first one, why can't you just go all the way to the right and then start? Because theoretically, the mitzvah was done.
Shulchan Aruch, well, Shulchan Aruch holds the pinish. You mean goes you move to the right, so you're doing the right thing according to Shulchan Aruch.
But the next one's not really a mitzvah anymore. It's just a hitter.
But why shouldn't I? According to Shulchan Aruch, when I start over here and I go like this, I'm Kami Makayim to Kanos Hazal, going to the right. I'm going to the right and to the right and to the right and to the right. I'm doing the right thing. I'm not doing anything wrong. So why shouldn't I do it? That's the correct way to understand that Chazal according to Shulchan Aruch.
Okay, fine. So right. It's not
a bidiyavit. Okay. It's a chachila. Right?
If you set up the ones for Motzei Shabbos on Friday, would those get in the way?
Theoretically, you should place yourself not next to them. Just ignore them.
If you're not lighting those, though, then they're not.
You know, yeah, but who decided I'm not lighting them? Okay.
There's three here and there's four there.
Okay. Yeah, you know, but you should stand. Don't put your hand there. It's the chachila right next to the four. Put your hand next to the three. And then just flip the menorah around once you Shabbos, and you have your four set up ready. Okay. Many of them is like the Shulchan Aruch. There's a girl who has a third way of doing it, you know, but that's which is.
Sharing menorahs earlier on.
Theoretically, you could do that. You know, now the Rambam comes along and says, the Rambam says, our minhag is the next step about this. Our minhag is to light, each individual in the family lights. Male individuals, some people have a minute by the, they have the females also, females which are not married, females which are married, you know, different mentality, right? So you have a confusion, you know, the part of the Pesumah Nisa is that look what night it is, you know, etc. So I walk by and see like 17, or, you know, neighbors lit, you know, I don't know, there's 17 people in the house, there's, you know, what is that that's going on, you know? I don't know, I don't see that it's the first night of Hanukkah, I see it's the 17th night of Hanukkah, you know, like, it's very confusing, right? So the Rambam says each person should put their menorah in a distinct, separate place, therefore it should be clear to people walking by. I see, you know, the third night of Hanukkah, I see three, and then three, I don't see six. You know, I should see three distinct ones, each one should light their neighbors, their menorah in a separate place. That's why lighting, sharing the same menorah gets a little bit problematic, you know, at that point in time. So they should be separate from each place. Okay. Okay. Fine. When a person lights, let's move on from the so we've discussed the Zman Hadlaka and the Makom Hadlaka. When a person lights, the person, there's a locha, and then you have locha, you make the bracha, and then you light, it was a real siyasa. There's a locha that had locha, by definition of chazal, is that you lit it well, that the majority of the wick is lit. So you should not take your hand away to go to the next candle until the majority, you have the majority of your wick, which is going to light, lit. Usually that means the amount of the wick which is out of the oil, that'll be the amount which is going to light. So the majority of you should not start near as a lolo until you've done the hadlaka at that point in time. It's important to look on that. What should you use for hadlaka? So it's Shulchan Aruch gives a preference to shemen. Mr. Burr points out that nowadays that we have wax candles which have a very clear light, so they are definitely the fatchila, he says. He brings the Sharetzi and he brings some of the Maral, since the Nase was done, Zecher, the Nase took place in the Mikdash, where there was a locha dafka of Shemin, so it's a mile of using Shemin's eyes, you should use Shemin's eyes. But there is, it's a dinei locha that this is a valid thing, so using candles is 100% kosher.
What about electric?
I was going to get to the next thing, just talking about electric. So, electric, interesting, there was a shuler from Rav Lazer Telzer. Rav Lazer Gordon, he dealt with the question.
How long ago was that?
How long ago was the tshuva? He was nifter in 1910.
So this is like early lectures.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly what the date was, but it, for sure it was before 1910, you know. At the latest, it was 1910. About this question, can you use electric neiros? And he was mechadish that since we're doing it, because our pattern, the halakha, along the lines of the halakha, which is the mikdash, there has to be fuel which is consumed.
Battery powered, like.
What's that? So the problem with electricity, they don't have fuel which is consumed. Number one. So Shlomo Zalman came along, you know, much later, obviously. And he added the second question is that the halakha is by, we hold a halakha is a mitzvah. It means you have to light in such a way that you have everything you need there. So you can't, let's say I'm lighting my shkia, so I need 50 minutes till tzeis, plus 30 minutes afterwards. I need 80 minutes of oil. I only have 50 minutes of oil in there. So I'm not yetzer. I'll add another 30 minutes worth of oil later on. It doesn't help me. I must have all of that there at the time of halakha. So he says, if you're lighting with electricity, which is coming from the generating plant, you don't have any fuel there at all. He says, so that situation, a person would light with electric lights, you should use a battery-powered one, which means the battery is there. So you have all the power, the theoretical energy, potential energy there. So the minig is not to be so mechana to light, to be yotze. A person has no other option, you would light without a problem. In regards to using a locus electricity for Erev Shabbos, Rambam actually holds it, Juba, that you could
make a bracha
on electric neiros for Erev Shabbos. The minigrad was not like Rambam. Let's say they did not make a bracha on it. A lot of people disagree with Rambam on that. But Rambam held it whole like that. But by Chanukah, nobody says a yotze. So it's more like a zecher. Now, interesting question which comes up nowadays, we have the congealed oil, which you light it and it becomes oil. But right now it's congealed. Is that called lighting with Shemen Zayas? Right now it's not oil.
Why is that different?
So yeah, it's a candle. Good. So you're definitely yotze. But you want to have the heater of lighting with Shemen Zayas. Mm-hmm. So this question was raised by Reb Nosson Kishtetner, one of the other places in Bnei Brak, and he held it was a problem. The Maisa, the other person weighed in, Rosh Hashanah, held it wasn't a problem. He held that's called Yulani Rosh Hashanah. And that's called Shemen Zayis. And Rosh Hashanah came along and said, let's take it a step weiter. So you have now these fancy wicks, which are wax coated, and you light the wicks. So are you lighting wax or are you lighting oil? Because if they're not wax coated, what happens is the oil wicks into the wick. You light the wick, you're lighting oil. Right now, when it's wax coated, I'm not lighting oil, I'm lighting wax. It'll eventually wick, but I'm lighting wax. This is all the Madrega's in the hitter of using Daf Kishem and Zayas, about your yotze, no shalat yotze. So somebody suggests if you dip your wick into the oil, so it's oil coated, there's oil coating on top of the wax coating, so fine, whatever, okay. Just
won't light like that, I don't think.
What?
It'd be a light like that.
Definitely lights.
Yeah. Are you yotze with other types of oil? Or?
Yotze with other types of oil, yes. We pass in all oils are kosher for Neiros Hanukkah. Just the hider of Shemen Zayas is because that mikdash was Dafka Shemen Zayas. So if you want to have that hider, you should have Shemen Zayas. Okay. You know what? I didn't discuss, I left out the whole section on the wares. The where is which room do you invite it? Okay, let's do that. Let's go back to the wares. I'm sorry. Go back to the where. So the question is, when if a person has, we have to define where the person's home is for the purpose of lighting. So let's start with the person has one place where he takes his meals and one place where he sleeps. So where does a person light? Does he light where he takes his meals or does he light where he sleeps? So the law is he lights where he takes his meals. We say the ikar place for a person is where a person takes his meal. So let's say, person going, it's not so common nowadays, you know, that the people live in boarding houses and they have their meals in the restaurants, you know. But the person goes to for Shabbos, he goes to his parents, you know, goes, there's not enough room in the house, so they sleep by a neighbor and they eat by their parents. So you light where you're eating. If a person is only going for one meal somewhere, not that this is where he takes his meals, but he's invited as a guest for one meal to go somewhere. And that's not his real, so the locha is he cannot be yotze locha with it. That's not his real locha. The fact that he eats his meal, one meal there, so he invited somewhere for a Hanukkah party. If there's a night, everybody's, you know, it's Thanksgiving, so you want to see if people are off, that's great, let's make a Hanukkah party, and invite the whole family over to have a big meal. And so the only person who can light their nair is there is the people who live there. All the guests can't light their nair is there. So then they have a question, where should they light? They either can light at home before they come, or they light when they get home, you know, but they can't light, they're not yet to be light by there. Bacharim, which go home for Shabbos, so they're only there for Shabbos, but while they're there, that's their mokum. So there's no shalom, that's called their mokum, and they can light there. You know, first, even Bacharim goes home, but let's say Bacharim stays, doesn't go home for Shabbos, he just goes home for one night to have a meal with his parents, that would not preclude where he should light. Ramosha came along and said, if a Bacharim has a choice between lighting in the dormitory, which is individual places, that's mokum shina, or the dining room, which is the communal dining area, Ramosha El is better to light in the dormitory. Because that was, each person had his own specific place, even though normally we give a preference to Mokum Achila, but it comes to the situation, he gives a preference to Mokum Shina, because that was more distinct for each person. Most places could disagree with Ramosha on that, and said the din of Mokum Achila still applies. So the Minhag Olam is not like Ramosha on that point. Now, there is a interesting sheet that's Rishonim already that raises a question that maybe a Bacher who learns in yeshiva should light the Mokum where he learns. Now, that, of course, that applies to a Bacher who spends most of his day in Beis Medrash. That's his Mokum. That was his argument. That's his place. Right? Where else is a Bacher, you know? One of the Rishonim already, the Morocco Zeruah, suggested that's the correct place for Bacher to light, which... Okay, each person has to say the applies to him. But now, when we say you have to light Mokum Achila or Mokum Shina, we're not talking about the room. You don't have to light in your bedroom. Right? You have to light in the building, in the house, which that's where you sleep. You can light in the dining room of that house, even though you don't eat there. Right? Let's say I sleep somewhere, every night I sleep somewhere, and I eat my meals wherever. I have no cool place where I eat my meals. I eat my meals in the restaurants, etc. So I'm light Mokum Shina. I have to light, go to the bedroom window. I can light in the dining room. That's my mokum. Shina, is this? Unless I have no rishus to go to the dining room. So if a person wants light over here, this building is mokum achila for bacher. He takes his meals here normally. He doesn't light in the dining room. He can light by the front entrance. That's called mokum achila. This building is your mokum achila. I mean, some guys stand in the front and eat food anyway, right? So this building has a mile. It's betzim. It's the base medrash and the mokum achila for a bacher. So your betzim, you have two swears. Why it would be other in this situation for a person to light over here?
If some people don't actually eat with us, so if they would theoretically light over here, would that be a problem?
So people do not eat with us, who do not take the meals here, should not light here. A few people have asked me that already. I told them that, you know, if they're taking their meals in the dorm, they should light in the dorm. One person told me that he sleeps in the dorm, he eats by his parents some nights, and some, you know, doesn't eat, sometimes he doesn't eat. So where should he light? So I told him you should eat by your parents, all the Chanukah, and light over there. Right, that's what I told him.
We do some and some.
It's better not to get involved in the, you know, it's better that a person really should be conveying that they can meal it every day during Chanukah. You know, when you're lighting here, should be here. Let's say a person goes home and he's leaving back to yeshiva that night. So let's say the off shop is over Wednesday night. So Wednesday he lights at home, right? Well, he's not going to sleep there that night. He's not going to eat there that. You know, he's on his way out. As long as you're still there, that's your mokum. That was your mokum for the weekend. That's your mokum. So that's not called during the weekend. That's where you ate. That's where you slept. That's your mokum. You're not sleeping here tonight. You're eating it. That doesn't make a difference. Till you leave, that's your mokum. For, you know, so that's fine. If you leave early, so then you left. It wasn't. But if you're there, but it's one o'clock, you can light there. That's the point that I'm saying.
So, for example, someone leaving this week,
Marshall, Wednesday night, the island will light here, even though they're not going to sleep here Wednesday night. Well, they'll eat here Wednesday night. They won't sleep here. Okay. I'm not going to get involved in the lachas of Aksanya, but that's not really so common nowadays. Most people light their own nerus. Okay. Erev Shabbos, we spoke about. One point about Erev Shabbos, a person should light his neighbors not near the door, in a way that when the door opens, the wind will come in and potentially put out the neighbors, because you have a problem. It might be, if it's close, if it's too close to the door, you have an issur to open the door, because you might put out the neighbors. So if you want to get into your house, or not stand outside till the neighbors burn out, you should not light in that situation like that. It's maybe not so common, because most of us light by the window. I want to touch on, maybe just go through, let's see. Some halachas, the halachas of Al-Nisim. The Mishnah Berurah passes on the correct lashon is Ve'al Al-Nisim. The person forgot to say Al-Nisim, we do not go back, but if you calls when you're still in that bracha, you do go back. And you start from Valanissim and you continue. So even though you might end the thing saying the shame of Hashem Kael the second time, then that's okay. If a person forgot Alanissim and he finished the bracha, he does not go back, but you can add it in the Lekain and Tzor, or you can add it in benching and by the Harachim ones, and you present it as Harachim on Huyasal and Onissim and he flows, right? Well, remember, it's also the game of Mordechai also, but that's not the wrong Yom Tov.
We're in Elohim,
anywhere you want. But you do it as a bakasha, so you can't put it, it's not a paragraph, it's a paragraph of praise. So you can't do praise there, you have to do bakasha. But that's when you add the harachmon, who yasal on anisim, and he flows, so then it's a bakasha.
Did you say harachmon
elokim? Also. Right? In other words, the point is, it should be a bakasha. You should do us for us, anisim, and he flows, just like you did for Matis Yo and the Kashim Noyman at that point in time. And then you say the rest of the paragraph. But your main thrust is bakasha as opposed to praise. Let's say a person is in a situation that's, you know, that if he skips Al-Nisim, he'll be able to say Kedusha. It's a shots, and he cops, and if he skips Al-Nisim, he'll be able to say Kedusha. You don't skip. Even though Al-Nisim is Drabonon, and Kedusha, according to the Rizal, is Deraisa, you do not skip your Mitzvah Drabonon to be able to cop your Mitzvah Deraisa. Okay.
Wait, let's consider finishing the Bracha, first going back. You say Bracha Tashem.
Bracha Tashem. That's it. That's different than by Yalav Yavoi. We should repass it by Yalav Yavoi because that's Ma'akev and you have Ma'akev and Shon Esrei. In that situation, you say Baruch Hashem. You say Lamdeni Chukecha, right? Or you add it in over there, but over here you don't do that. Baruch Hashem, you go right. You finish off the bracha, go right. One question is a little bit of a side issue. We'll just talk about that. I forget everything over here in Al-Nisim. By Al-Nisim, the first time you say the loch is there's a din of cedar tefillah. Any tefillah we say, we should say it, it should be masudr in our mouths. So it says that in a situation when you read it from a sitter, you don't need the masudr before him because you're reading from a sitter. So the first time you say Al-Nisim, you should say it from a sitter. You know, even you know Baal Peh, first time for the year. You should say it from a sitter. After you can say about Pav, you know. Putting out the neighbors. You know, let's say since you're going home and you want to come back. It's Monday night. You want to light at home, and then you want to. You need to come back to yeshiva already. The neighbors are still going. You got to put out the neighbors. You could put out the neighbors. You have to make a tanai before. You should say lechatchila. You're making a tanai. You're not planning to. You're not being maxed at l'shei mitzvah after the zman of the half an hour. So once it's ready after the half an hour, after Tzeis HaKachovim, so you're allowed to put it out, and that's not a problem. Until that's when you cannot put it out.
If you don't make it tonight,
then it's a problem, because you were max all that to be lit for that purpose.
Did you make the tonight when you first light?
Before you light, you should say, I'm just designating the amount of oil which is necessary to get me to this man for the purpose of the mitzvah. Whatever afterwards is not for that purpose.
What if you're going to use it the next night anyways?
If you use next night anyways, that'll be fine, but it's probably very hard to travel with that oil, you know, guarantee that oil is going to be used, you know, probably easier to wash it out. Theoretically, you could do that, but that's going to be, you know, that's, Okay, it's brought down Chanukah Zizman, which is a Masugah for Tzedakah. A person should be Marva giving Tzedakah during Chanukah. It's also a Zizman, which is a Masugah, the Shlag, it's a Masugah for Limud HaTorah. That's why we have a off Shabbos. I always found that fascinating. So, a person should be Marva, even though you're going home, of course, the Milo going home is that, you know, when the Shirim Shiva to the Yeshiva, the home you can learn the whole day. Right, so you should make sure that you have Brian learning during the Tufa of Chanukah. Okay, do you want me to go through the Lachos we said to Lamotu Livrocha now? It's coming up next week.
December 4th.
Right. So we start the. Okay. Yes. No. Maybe. Okay.